Walmart just turned its Happy Face logo upside down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. The world's biggest retailer is asking the Supreme Court to weigh in on a massive sex discrimination lawsuit against the company. Walmart says the class action case could include more than a million women and should be stopped. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
This spring, a federal appeals court ruled that the case could proceed as a class action, handled as one giant lawsuit. Walmart has asked the Supreme Court to reverse that decision. The case began almost 10 years ago when a group of women employees at Walmart and Sam's Club sued the company for discrimination based on their sex. More than a million women have since joined the case. The company argues that those complaints should be handled individually or in smaller groups. Retail consultant Bruce Flickinger questions the company's strategy. He says Walmart should have settled the case long ago.
The longer the case goes forward, the longer consumers are reminded that two-thirds of the people working at Walmart are women and only one-third of the people in management at Walmart are women.
Those numbers come from plaintiffs in the lawsuit who say women earn 5 to 15% less than men doing the same jobs. Walmart disputes those figures. If the case goes forward, analysts say it could cost the company more than $1 billion in damages. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Bargain hunters are giving stocks around the world a boost. Most Asian markets rose modestly. Shares on the major European exchanges have been hovering between a third and half a percent higher. In the coming hour, we'll get the numbers on weekly jobless claims. Wall Street will be watching after yesterday's 20-point gain for the Dow. Looking for a bargain commodity investment? Natural gas is cheap. Prices are down 18% this month, which is good for consumers and power plants and not so good for producers. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
Natural gas prices typically fall in the fall because we use less air conditioning. That's because natural gas is one of the fuels that produces electricity. On top of that, this year factories filling fewer orders are expected to use less of the juice, too. Natural gas prices are at three-month lows. But are producers paying attention? Raoul LeBlanc at the advisory PFC Energy says nope.
Drillers, the oil and gas companies, the producers, continue to ignore the market signals and drill, drill, drill.
Oversupply and weak demand pushed gas futures yesterday below $4 a unit. The standard unit is a BTU. But economist Gilbert Metcalf at Tufts thinks prices will come back.
Once this recession ends, we can expect that gas prices would go up to the $5 to $6 to $7 range, which is more historically where they've been.
The hurricane season could also push prices higher if a storm disrupts offshore natural gas supplies. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Tomorrow, the government gives its revised estimate for the country's economic growth rate, and leading experts are expecting slippage from 2.4% growth to just 1.4%. No question the economy's weak, but is it really all that weak? Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell is here with the opposing view. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bob.
I don't know, can you be a contrarian and an optimist at the same time?
I'm going to try. I'm definitely going to try. And as you said, there's a lot of gloom and doom about the economy, but I just think there is some good news that's being ignored.
Okay, fill us in.
Here's some actual factoids, numbers, trends that I think need to be highlighted. And the most important is this corporate profit recovery cycle has been among the best in the entire post-war period. And I know you've covered it. We're all wondering, it's like the big guessing game. When are corporations going to start spending their cash hoards? Well, I think we're starting to see it. Take a look at corporate investment in equipment and software. It's growing at its fastest rate since 1997.
We also keep hearing these stirrings about, boy, things better improve soon or we're going to pull back.
Bloomberg did this study, and they looked at 200 companies in the Standard & Poor's 500, and they looked at research and development expenditures, 2007-2009. Now, you would think, with everything we've gone through, where would you cut? You cut R&D, right? That's
absolutely
a simple thing. That's down the road. I mean, we got to survive for today. And yet these more than 200 companies really increase their R&D expenditures during this period of time. I think that's good news.
I have to say, though, I've got another technical term for you. Don't stick your hand back in the flame.
Yeah, all right. Okay, well, I'm going to do that anyway. I'm going to stick my hand way into that fire. Look, household debt burdens are down. For workers who have jobs, their real incomes, incomes adjusted for inflation, are getting stronger. The other thing, and I don't want to make too big a point of this, but James Paulson, he's chief investment strategist at Wells Capital Management. He does, you know, he made the calculation. He said, look, it's not great, but so far this recovery has produced better job results than was achieved in 1991 or 2001.
Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Then there's this new plan for growth in Midtown Manhattan. Despite complaints it could rival the Empire State Building, the City Council in New York has voted overwhelmingly to approve a new 1,200-foot skyscraper just a few blocks to the west. And following up on something we previewed yesterday, federal regulators have now approved a rule change that makes it easier for shareholders to get their own candidates nominated to the boards of directors of public companies. And finally this morning, here's a pleasant thought. Imagine what a delight it is, cruising at 20,000 feet with a sweet, well-behaved little bundle of joy. Ah, yes, what could possibly go wrong? This may explain the results of an online poll out this week showing close to 60% of travelers would like a families-only section on planes. And of the 2,000-plus who responded on the Skyscanner website, 20% would prefer child-free flights. Well, dream on. USA Today says the airlines it checked with haven't even considered the idea. By the way, some of the parents who voted would actually prefer to sit with other families. Your thoughts? At marketplace.org. Exactly how I feel. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.